Blog Talk Radio.
You are now listening to Cruise Control with Jonathan and Christian Cruz, only on MSL Radio.
Another episode of Cruise Control with your hosts Jay Cruz and Chris Cruz. Chris Cruz, say what's up to the people.
Hey guys, welcome back. Feels like it's been forever since we've done this show. I guess it has, but longing makes the heart grow fonder, don't you think, Jay?
That's right. We're back with another great episode, so I hope you guys have missed us as much as we miss being on talking to you guys or giving our opinion on different subjects. So we have a couple of great topics for you guys today. What we'll be talking about today is the season finale of Teen Wolf that aired on Monday, last week Monday. We're going to be talking about the Clippers fine, $250,000. And we're going to be talking about Until Dawn, the video game, and how video games are becoming more cinematic-like. So, Chris, which one you want to start off with?
I'm thinking
how about
we're going
Glavin?
I said, I was thinking we're going a little.
Whatever you want then, Jay. You can start it.
I was just going to give you some advice on how to start it, you know. But
well,
I was gonna
if
let
you
pick
wanted
it.
To start it, you could have just picked one. You know, if you wanted to be the guy, I don't know, like, how to pass it off to me. All
right. I kind of wanted to start with the Clippers. Start off with some NBA talk.
I mean, NBA is always fun. So, I mean,
that's right.
Yeah, exactly. That's the one I was going to pick. So, I guess we're on the same page. So,
that's right. We have
guys,
that twin connection going on.
Exactly. You see, we have that twin telepathy. But, guess what, Jay? The NBA fined the Clippers $250,000 because of that, the whole issue with the re-signing of DeAndre Jordan. Now, I don't know if you knew about it. But it seems that they were doing some shady stuff to get DeAndre to come back. Apparently, they told him, they promised him not to only re-sign him, but that an endorsement deal will follow if he re-signed with the Clippers. And you can't do things like that. So the league has deemed it necessary to fine the whole organization $250,000, which I wouldn't say is, you know, extremely steep. If you look at the overall worth of the Clippers, but still, it's a hefty penalty just to re-sign one player.
All I'm going to say is it's allegations and they have no proof.
I'm sure they wouldn't have dished out a $250,000 penalty if they had zero evidence.
Free the LA Clippers.
Freedom from what, Jay? The fine? No one is being imprisoned or anything.
That, you know, because they're an LA team and they got one of their better players back, they're being targeted, you know, falsely accused. I don't believe any of this shenanigans.
Yeah, but the reason they fined the Clippers overall is because the league, because, you know, overall in league rules, for example, league rules prohibit teams from arranging for others to provide compensation for a player unless it is included in his contract or is otherwise permitted by the collective bargaining agreement. And none of that was happening. DeAndre was just considering re-signing with the team or leaving to sign with the Dallas Mavericks. Now, since they included that, you never know, that could have swayed his decision to come back to L.A. And, you know, how are you supposed to say whether that played a factor or didn't? I assume it did. But that, I mean, they had to get some type of punishment. You can't just go around breaking the rules all willy-nilly just to re-sign someone.
I mean, he would have probably got, I mean, to be quite honest, LA is a big market. He probably would have got some endorsements even if they didn't offer it to him. If he would have stayed in LA regardless, he probably would have got some endorsements.
Yeah, I mean, the NBA is trying to say that the endorsement didn't impact DeAndre Jordan's decision to re-sign with the Clippers, though.
Yeah. So why was that even brought up?
I don't know. I assume they don't know, unless, you know, he just went around saying, oh, you know, it didn't factor into my whole decision, you know, I was going to miss the team regardless and decided on my own to come back. But we never know because we weren't there and we don't have the inside scoop. But I do think that I don't mind the penalty. If they broke the rules, then fine, find them. It's not going to be a whole, you know, it's not a load off their back. It's not like it's like breaking them financially. I mean, it's like, to me, $250,000 for a wealthy organization like the Clippers is a slap on the wrist. And that's essentially what the NBA is doing. I think they're doling out the fine to say, you know, okay, yes, a rule was broken, so we'll, you know, by rule guidelines, we have to penalize them. But it wasn't a major incident. So we'll take it like, you know, like a day in jail, so to speak.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, and the $250,000 is nothing compared to what they make as players or even the organization. They probably, like you said, it's just a slap on the wrist. But, I mean, I feel like they're just trying to pass off blame so people can just stop bringing up the subject. Like, oh, okay, let's just penalize them so that nobody really cares or brings it up anymore. When in reality, it probably didn't really do anything wrong, but since people were getting so upset about it, they're just like, oh, let's do something so it blows over.
Exactly. And plus, this deal has already concluded. Yeah, it happened during the offseason, which is recently now. But, you know, the deal was over and done with. I don't know why penalizing them now came about. Maybe they just found something out. But if what they're saying is true and DeAndre had every intention of coming back after he realized he didn't want to sign with Dallas, I mean, he did state, which I agree, his best shot at winning a championship in L.A. He's making a lot of money as it is. He's playing on a better team. I mean, it was inevitable in my mind that he was going to come back. The NBA is just trying to, you know, find a way, I guess, to penalize them for breaking a minor rule and, I guess, compensating Dallas for them being slighted.
Yeah, and he made a verbal agreement. And all right, verbal agreements are not binding. So just because he said, yeah, you want to be someone who keeps your word, but just because he told Dallas, yeah, for sure, I'll be over there, he didn't sign on any dotted line. He can change his mind anytime he wants and stay with the Clippers, by all means. So, I mean, Dallas, you know, and this penalty, I believe, is absurd. I don't believe the Clippers should be fined anything. But, I mean, I guess it's just a slap on the wrist. It's not going to break them. So let them pay it up, move on, and try to win a championship.
If I was the Clippers, I'd be like, hey, DeAndre, you want to pay this $250,000?
No, they should just do it as an organization since the organization wanted him back, you know. It's
obviously
not like
they have
DeAndre.
To do it as an organization. DeAndre Jordan's not give up $250,000. He didn't do anything wrong. The Clippers are the ones. If this is if this allegation is true, which apparently it is, then obviously the Clippers organization messed up as a whole, not DeAndre. If the Clippers were so like delusional to be like, hey, you know, DeAndre, this is your fault, they're crazy. But it's not to be honest, I don't find this story that huge of a deal. Like, yeah, the Clippers are going to pay the fine and move on. It's not like it's going to do anything towards their next season chances. They're still going to be one of the contenders in the West. I mean, it really changes nothing. The only thing that matters is that DeAndre re-signed with the team.
Yeah, well, I guess we'll just leave it at that and we'll watch for the Clippers' chances to win an NBA title next year.
Yeah, let's watch that. But, Jay, what we got next? What are you picking next, sir?
Next, we can move on Until Dawn, the video game. It's going to be a teen horror-like video game. It's going to be kind of like a teen horror movie, but you play it. It's going to be on a console. So they're pretty much making it more cinematic. It's kind of crazy how they're making video games more cinematic, which I find pretty cool. But I guess there's some good sides and some good downsides to it, you know?
I mean, it just sounds like the best of both worlds. Not only is it kind of like a movie with all the cinematic scenes in the video game, now you also get to play it. So it's very cinematic, and you get to play a horror game, which is fun in itself. So you mix the two together, and what do you get? You got Before Dawn, which is, I think it's going to be a good game. I kind of want to play it. Like, I do want to get it. I want to play through the game and see how it is. I mean, I've always been a fan of the cinematic trailers, you know, especially in older games like PlayStation games. They used to have them all the time. So, like, I've always loved them. I can't wait to see how this game does it, because, you know, with the next-gen systems like PS4 and Xbox One, the graphics and cinematic trailers can only get better. So it's going to be like I'm watching a movie and playing a game at the same time, which is cool.
Exactly, and what it says about it is it was written like a movie, cast like a movie, performed like a movie, and even all the bonus materials feels like a movie promotion than a video game. If you enjoy Scream, Halloween, yeah, pretty much. It says if you enjoy Scream, Halloween, the Friday the 13th, and also love the resurgence of adventure games over the last several years, Until Dawn is a must-play game.
I'm a fan of the horror genre, so I like Scream. I like all the horror genre in total, especially like horror movies. So the cinematic trailers like bring me a sense of that gratification that you get from watching a scary movie. Then I'm all for it. Anyways, just sign me up now. Get me a copy.
Yeah, okay, and I'll read you a little description about what the game's going to be about. Until Dawn is the story of Hannah and Beth Washington, who mysteriously disappear outside their parents' ski lodge on Blackwood Mountain on the night they invited a bunch of friends over for a party. 1 year later, their brother Josh invites the same group of teenagers back to the lodge for a get-together that's meant to give everyone closure. The mountain is, of course, sacred Native American ground and home of a closed-down sanitarium. The teenagers are horny and eager to pair off for sexy shenanigans. The rest of the game writes itself, sticking mostly to teenage horror tropes while drawing elements from film Japanese horror movies.
Cool.
So what do you think, Jay? You want to get it? Yeah, I'm thinking about getting it. It's going to be just like watching a movie, but you get to control the characters. So instead of you yelling at the screen like, run, you actually get to run.
Saves me time. At least now I know that if the protagonist dies, it's my fault. Not because they do all the cliches known to man in all horror movies. And you'd be, you know, when you go to the movie, you'd be like, run, white girl, run. You know that. And like now, you know, you got them running, and if they die, it's your fault. I mean, you can't blame anyone else.
Exactly. And it says that Until Dawn is an adventure game whose closest relation in the genre has to be Heavy Rain, both in terms of cinematic aspirations and how forced the button pressing and analog stick waggling feel. You jump between all of the main characters at different parts of the story, walking them through the game and pressing X to look at things and pressing R2 to pick up objects. And executing quick time events to pull off feats of dexterity. Sounds pretty good. And they got,
it does.
They got some. Sorry?
It sounds pretty good. I've actually seen some clips of the gameplay for the game, and it looks pretty good. It looks very realistic on the next gen consoles. And then it looks like, you know, you make the decisions playing through all the characters. And your decisions actually play a big factor in the game of whether or not they're going to survive their ordeals and what happens next. So whatever decision you make is going to contribute to what the characters do and, like, what possible choices could have happened for that character. So it looks pretty cool. I'm very interested in playing it, and hopefully it's good, and I can tell you guys, hey, you know, get the game because it's amazing. Oh, that's what I want to say anyway.
Exactly, and it has a good cast as well, and like two big names on there that I've read so far is Rami Malek from Mr. Robot, if you guys have seen that, and Hayden Panettiere from the hit TV show Heroes. They're two big name casts that are going to be voice acting. I love Hayden Panettiere, so pretty.
Marry me.
So this game is going to be a traditional like horror genre, but you get to, it's actually a video game, so it's going to be very cinematic-like, which is pretty cool, because, you know, I've always loved the cutscenes in video games that are very cinematic. However, now it's going to be like that, but except you're controlling the character. It's going to have that real movie feel to it, so it's probably actually going to be scarier than any game probably played. That's what I'm hoping for. That's what I'm looking for in this game.
Yeah, you're telling me. I actually You know, horror games are always fun to play regardless. You know, personally, one of my favorite horror games I've ever played is Resident Evil 4 for the GameCube. I think that's one of the best horror games and first shooters that you can play. And if the game is anything of the edge of your seat like that game, then I'll be happy to play it, and I'll be looking forward to actually getting my hands on a copy. But, Jay, you know what time it is? It's about time for that commercial break. So when we get back, we'll be talking about the last topic, which is Teen Wolf. See you guys soon.
ESPN New York, ESPN LA, ESPN Chicago, ESPN Dallas, ESPN Boston. But where's Miami? At MSL, we want to be the launching pad for ESPN Miami. So spread the word. MSL to ESPN.
MSL is looking for writers. If you are a fan of the Miami Dolphins, Miami Marlins, Miami Heat, Miami Hurricanes, Florida Panthers, Florida International University Panthers, or even golf, contact Stephen Err on Twitter at RidingFanatic2 for more information.
Do something with your life. Do something with your life. Do something with your life.
All right, I'm feeling it. I'm feeling it. Welcome to Cruise Control, where the rhyming is tight, where the limelight's a liming light.
Stop. What are you doing?
I'm rhyming. I'm rapping. My people
want what the show's about.
So what's
people
it about?
Hear what the show's about.
What's it about?
It's about two brothers coming together, discussing everything popular culture. We're opening up Pandora's box, and yes, I said Pandora's box, because nothing is off limits, and we're going to talk about things that everybody wants to hear about, things we want to talk about.
So everything and anything.
Everything and anything. This is Miami Sports and Lifestyle's very own Jonathan and Christian Cruz. So you just got to sit back, relax, and put it on what, Jay?
I'm not saying it.
You got to say it.
No,
you can't end it like this.
No,
so
right.
What are we doing? Put it on what?
We're putting...
What?
Cruise control.
I've made my decision. I'm going to take my talents to South Beach, join D. Wade, and play for the Miami Heat. The Miami Heat. The Miami Heat.
DJ Irie. The Miami Heat.
You are now listening to Cruise Control with Jonathan and Christian Cruz, only on MSL Radio.
Well, welcome back, guys, from commercial break. That was a quick commercial break, but welcome back to Cruise Control with your host, Jay Cruz and Chris Cruz. Chris Cruz, say what's up to the people.
Hey, guys, welcome back. Like, that was probably the shortest commercial break we have ever had. See? So they shortened it so you guys can get more time with us, which is, I'm always happy to oblige with. So, Jay, we're down to our last topic for the day. Do you know what that is? Obviously, you know, we talked about it at the beginning of the show, but are you ready to discuss it?
That's right. We're talking about the season finale of Teen Wolf. For those of you Teen Wolf fans, some spoiler alerts if you haven't seen it already. But we're going to be giving some stuff away, and we're going to be giving our opinion on the season finale and the overall season that occurred for season 5 of Teen Wolf. So, Chris, start it off.
All right. So, for those of you who are a fan of the show or are looking for a new show to get into, I always recommend MTV. They're coming out with new shows that I think are actually pretty entertaining. And my favorite is possibly Teen Wolf. Now, this show is pretty cool. For those of you who haven't seen it, give a quick synopsis of the show. A teenage boy gets bitten by a werewolf, becomes a werewolf, and then him and his friends save the little town that they're in and from supernatural disasters. While he tries to adjust to his new life as a werewolf. So to get that out the way, we are now on season 5. 5A to be exact, because the second half of the season will return. So 5A ended with a crazy cliffhanger, and for those of you who knew what was coming, you know, it was just an overall good episode. It entertained me thoroughly. Was it my favorite season? Probably not, but it was a good season so far off the bat, and you never know what's going to happen next, and I don't know, it was crazy. I was like, by the end of the episode, I was like, what? What do you think, Jay? You want to give us a little thing about what you thought of the episode? Maybe some spoilers?
Sure. So pretty much the synopsis of that episode is with Scott, with both lives and friendships on the verge of being destroyed, Scott and his pack face their greatest enemy yet, which in this season is the Dread Doctors. So, you know, Scott and his pack, for those of you who haven't seen it, Tyler Posey, Dylan O'Brien, Harlan Roden, those are the three of the main cast, and then some new cast members that they have. Those are the actors in the show, and their characters are facing off against supernatural scientists in this season, which are known as Dread Doctors, which they don't really understand what they want, what they're doing here. But they're pretty much trying to get Scott and his pack out the way. Theo, who is one of the newbies in the pack, is pretty much with the Dread Doctors, and he's betraying them. So he's pretty much trying to get his own pack in this episode. So he's trying to get everyone except Scott. He's trying to get Scott killed so he can lead the pack and be the leader. This episode was really good. It had its moments of action, you know, drama, and then it even had a cliffhanger at the end, which was pretty cool. For those of you who didn't see it, spoiler alert, Scott, the lead main character, pretty much almost dies. You think he died, and then he comes back at the end. And then Hayden, who is Liam's love interest, dies. And then everyone who has died in previous episodes get brought back to life by Theo. It was a pretty good episode. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
You know, for the first half of the season, it's been a pretty gory season so far, with a lot of deaths and just grotesque things happening. Now, don't get me wrong, the ending with the main character, Scott, being killed, obviously you knew that wasn't going to last. He's the main character of the show. Obviously, they're not going to kill him off. So him coming back to life, him just, you know, using his power to start his heart again, didn't really surprise me. But what I thought was pretty cool, you know, throughout the whole season, you know, spoiler alert, guys, throughout the whole season, you think that the new person in the pack, Theo, is going out of his way to get Scott to trust him. In my mind, he was doing that to eventually betray Scott, which he did, but I didn't think that he wanted to be the leader of Scott's pack, which was a shocker to me. He wanted everyone but Scott, which is cool. And I thought throughout the season, there's been some strong acting points, so if you guys want to get into the show, the actors do a pretty standard job, and I think some of them do a terrific job. Dylan O'Brien, for an example, I think excels in almost every scene he's in, and the newcomer that plays Theo, I think, does a great job as well. He has some strong scenes, especially towards the later half of the season. And in that last episode, he did a really good job. And so I also want to applaud another young actor on the show, the one who plays the baby Beta in Scott's pack, plays Liam. He did a really fine job, especially in that last episode. Dylan Sprayberry did a fine job in that last episode. And for those of you, I recommend this show. You know, it's pretty cool. It has a bunch of elements that you guys should watch. It's supernatural. It's a romantic supernatural show. So you have your romantic, your romantic entanglings. You have supernatural, you know, crazy things going on. You have cool fights, and you have just strong storylines in general. And this season is no different. Like Jay was saying, you have the Dread Doctors who have just come, and they're a little creepy. I wouldn't say they're the most intimidating of the villains on the show, but, you know, they're a little creepy. They do all their little creepy things and experiment on people. But the season finale in general was pretty cool. The way it ended with, spoiler alert again, guys, with Theo creating his whole new pack of chimeras, which is pretty cool. You finally found out what the hell Parrish was, which took forever, and for those of you who really want to know like we did, he is a dun-dun-dun-dun, you know, he's a hellhound, which I didn't see coming. I thought he was something completely different. So, like, all of these questions were finally answered. It took forever, you know. I watch and you watch and you watch, and you wait for these answers, and they finally deliver them. So I just can't wait for the second half of this season, which I think is going to amp up everything that was already happening. So I think it's going to be pretty cool.
Yeah, they keep you on the edge of your seat, and they keep you guessing so that you keep wanting to watch. So that's why you wait, you keep watching so you can find out what's going to happen, what these characters are, what's going to happen between these characters. That's the reason you come back and you watch. And for the good writing that the writers do, I mean, the story is just compelling. So you come back so you can find out what's going to happen. Now, for those of you who didn't know, this season is a two-part season. They have a season 5A and a season 5B, just like they did with season 3. So it's going to be another half to the season, like, of course, which we all thought was going to happen because we heard about it before the season. And then the way it ended, they didn't resolve anything. So, of course, it's going to come back with them trying to resolve, first off, the betrayal by Theo and then trying to beat the Dread Doctors, which they haven't even come close to doing within the first half of the season. So when the series comes back, it's going to be very compelling to see how why the Dread Doctors are doing it, what's the purpose, and how they deal with the issues of the Dread Doctors, because this season is by far the most probably difficult for the pack because they're pretty much falling apart. No one trusts anyone. The leader, Scott, he's not doing a great job making bad decisions. He's actually looking pretty weak. He has all his power. He's an alpha, and yet, you know, looking pretty weak, always reaching for his inhaler when since he's a werewolf, he shouldn't even have asthma anymore, and he's always reaching for his inhaler. So it's actually pretty compelling to see how these characters who have risen throughout the seasons have actually fallen and are pretty much testing their relationships.
Yeah, I agree. The season was really well written, in my opinion, because it took, you know, these characters that the writers have been building up throughout the course of four seasons. And then they go in season five, and they just tear them down. In this season, they went and they brought out all the insecurities of all the characters. With Dylan O'Brien's character Styles believing that his friends might leave him behind and forget about him. Scott's feeling inferior. I mean, for Scott to be an alpha and the leader of the pack, he's not doing a very good job of leading. And now his fellow the people that are supposed to believe in him, they don't. And they're all, like, straying away from, like, everything he believes in and everything that they should be doing because he's not being a very good leader. And just through the course of the season, everyone's having panic attacks or just their lives are falling apart, essentially. I mean, you have Malia with her mama drama, and then you have Kira, who's a kitsune, freaking out because she can't control her abilities. So it's just all falling apart. So I can't wait to see how the writers bring them all back together again and wrap up all the loose ends that they left. Because like you were saying, essentially, this is the season where they've had the toughest time, where everything didn't go the way that the characters or the protagonists wanted it to go. And so in the second half, they have to answer all the questions that were left unanswered and find a way to wrap up the story really well where the characters are going to come together and pull it off, even though it doesn't look like they're going to right now. So I like the writing. I like the acting in the show. And to those of you out there who are looking for a new show, give it a chance. Binge watch it. You'll have fun. And for those of you who love the show like we do, the season finale was epic, and we hope you guys enjoyed it like we did because it was crazy cool. And we're waiting for the second half to come back so we can see how, just like you, how everything wraps up and fits into a nice little bow that the writers got waiting for us.
Exactly, and for those of you who don't know, it usually plays on Mondays throughout the summer. The second half should be coming back in a couple of months. I don't know the exact date it's coming back, so we'll keep you informed on our show when we hear anything about it. But yeah, it's a great show. It plays on MTV, so for those of you guys looking for a new show, it's really interesting. The writing is good. The acting is pretty good. Yeah, you'll have some bad acting in a couple of parts, but for the majority, most of the time, it's actually good acting. So you guys should watch it because it's a fantasy drama, which is actually very well done, in my opinion, and it looks great. I believe the filming and the cinematography is great. Well, that leads us to the end of our show, guys, and you know how we like to wrap it up. We like to wrap it up with a rap recap. So, Chris, let them know.
All right, you guys already know what time it is. Like Jay was saying, it's the rap recap, and we love this category. So we're about to get this done. So, guys, I hope you're ready. Watching on the tube, we got to get some lube because Teen Wolf finale got me in the mood. The Clippers losing money because they tried to act funny. Got DeAndre back because they needed their big buddy. Now, Before Dawn is a game, they say is a movie. Cinematic trailers are a thing of beauty. I hope you guys like the wrap that's it for our show. Until tomorrow night, guys, it's time to go.
Thank you, guys. Shut up and die.